Okay, recording. I have a fat ass waveform.
Perfect. Time dot is.
Oh, I have to time dot is.
You got a time dot is.
Do we need to switch to beep 30? Did we ever figure that out?
We didn't. You brought it up and I don't remember what it does.
It does the clap for you.
I mean, that's handy. Ooh, my time's exact.
I am 2.7 seconds ahead.
Hello, and welcome to the 70% Complete Podcast. It is the show where the topic is the tangent. I am your co-host, I guess, Phil, and I am joined, as always, by my other co-host, Logan. Hey, Logan, how are you doing today?
Hello, I am here and upright.
Okay, hey, that's good, and we're going to talk about RuneScape today, so maybe...
Maybe better, maybe worse.
Remain upright?
We'll see, yeah.
Yeah? but before we get into that, it is the important question we ask every episode, and every episode we seem to forget. What's your bright spot today?
We'll say the weird drum thing that I just did that we talked about before recording, where I have either accidentally taught myself to play a 3/4 polyrhythm, or I entered some kind of psychosis, which I have now emerged.
Nice. I mean, that's relevant for a whole host of episodes we're doing, so, you know.
I like to keep it topical. It's not because my brain panics and reaches out for the first thing I can see, like, visually or temporally.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you can see your drums currently now in your view.
Well, last time we did this, I looked left at the soundboard, so this time I had to look right.
Nice.
And yourself, since you keep remembering to do this?
Yeah, so my bright spot is, it is a bright spot currently, but it was a 3-hour long dark spot followed by kind of just like a whimper of a, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
I have set up my pie hole and I think it is working. I opened up a box that I got from Adafruit on, I think, Thursday. Had a handful of Raspberry Pis in there, two Pi Zero Ws, which is important.
Yep.
It is two Pi Zero Ws, not
Pi Zero Pi W2.
Twos, yeah, which is important. And then I have a, I think it's a, it might be a Pi 5. I think I might have just went the biggest one, or the most recent one. For a home assistant thing that I'm going to be doing later, which I feel better about now and am also only a little bit dreading. But I did it. I set up a Raspberry Pi. I only had to image it 4 times, I think.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
I think that's the first experience of this sort is going to go that way if it goes well.
Yes. Yeah, there was a certain amount of hubris of, I know computer. And computer told me that I did not. And honestly, they were right.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you stop interacting with corporate software, it like becomes clear pretty quickly how complicated computer is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it is working. There's a certain round of annoying issues that came up. Like, I imaged the wrong, like, I just put the wrong software on the thing. Like, that was just, it was a dumb mistake because I didn't read the manifest and remember which actual computers I bought. So that was annoying. I realized that I kind of went into it pretty confidently that I know how to do this stuff. And then the moment I had to open the terminal, I was like, oh, it's been a real long time since I've done this.
Yeah, there's like a certain special kind of terror, I think, that hits you right in the solar plexus when you pop that open and stare at it and go, oh yeah, this has to go right the first time, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
that's the feeling. It's just like, okay, I can do this if it works, and the moment it does not work, I am lost deep in the woods.
Yeah, because then the struggle that I ran into with this one particular is that it was always like, okay, there's an error. Okay, I know how to Google an error code and like try to search for the problems here. Oh, all of the top posts say to read the documentation. Okay, that's fine. I thought I did. I'll go back to it. Oh, it just says to install this, just run this line of code. But that's what I did that. And now I have an error. And everyone's like, well, just go read the documentation, you big dumb idiot. And then you learn about how I didn't put sudo in there. Mm-hmm. And thanks to listener TK, I now know what sudo means. Mm-hmm. So, and now it works. No more advertisements in select places, I guess.
The pie hole.
It's nice. It's nice. My like positive end of this is that while I was doing all of this, I just 3D printed a case for it. So I got to have like the printer running again and doing all my cool hacky shit in the terminal with my, because of, you know, Bluetooth and all of that nonsense and tiny computer, I had to plug in all of my old like packing stuff that came with my PC.
Yeah, get that. So I gross just had like keyboard out. Yeah. That membrane. But it's all nonsense. Like
gamer lights on all of it and everything. It's like, I don't know if this power is gonna like really destroy this thing. So but we got there. It's running. It is somehow allowing this call to happen, so I didn't ruin everything. And yeah.
That is
one step towards a better internet life.
Oh yeah, the pie hole makes a ton of difference, especially if you mm-hmm. use devices where it is not easy to obtain an ad blocker of some kind.
Yep.
But you now have an internal point of failure with your DNS happening internally. So
yeah, I know. And that's like kind of the secondary scary part is that I was telling my wife, I was like, okay, like this thing is working, and if you like do this stuff, it should be fine, and like you won't see any problems, and it shouldn't impact much of anything going on in your life. But if you do start to have weird, funky internet things, let me know.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I'll try to fix it.
Yeah, you can whitelist stuff if that's what it comes to. It's not that complicated once it's up and running, but yeah, no. Pie hole life is good. I think it's like the perfect starter project to just slam your head against, because mm-hmm. It's well documented for one of those. That counts as well documented, by the way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like lightweight and it will run on basically anything.
Yep.
And it's not that many steps.
Like, no,
once you get the OS running, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, it was like honestly, it was a pretty simple project. It was like literally just stumbling out of the gates by putting the 64-bit version of the Raspberry Pi, what is it? Bookworm, I think, on that thing, and then realizing after the fact that I like the Pi Zero cannot even take a 64-bit OS, and I was like selecting the wrong device anyways, which had like a whole host of issues, and it was not great. I ended up reflashing the 64-bit Bookworm onto that thing 3 times before I pulled out the actual shipping manifest from Adafruit to be like, oh, it says 2x Raspberry Pi Zero. Mm-hmm. Not, I didn't buy the 2s. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I now understand my struggles. Yeah. And then it was mostly fine after that.
Yeah.
Like, I think had it gone as expected, probably a good 40-minute project, and most of that is because it's like downloading
mm-hmm.
Pi-hole off the internet. Otherwise, not that big of a deal. No. But it did take me, I think, 4 hours to figure all of that out with the amount of troubleshooting I had to do.
We talked about it ahead of time, and I think that was about what I was anticipating. Like, this is
yeah.
When you read through the instructions, you're like, oh yeah, I'll knock this thing out 30 minutes mm-hmm. to an hour. This will be fine.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I think it took me around that length the first time as well.
Yeah, and it was only like a little bit frustrating, and because it was my own fault, I feel less bad about the frustration going forward. So
yeah,
I will turn on that Home Assistant machine at some point.
And now, ideally, you don't have to touch that Pi for a real long time.
That's the hope.
It'll just sit there and do its thing.
Yep.
With little. Yeah, to
and
no
then
oversight.
I have a spare 0W that I need to find a fun project for that we have talked about offline. And maybe as I think more about that, we will bring it to the show.
Sounds like
it's a dumb idea, though.
That's the best kind of idea, at least in these parts.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, today's topic.
What do you have?
So we're, I don't know if you know this, but RuneScape has celebrated an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that it was the 25th anniversary?
25. Okay. Yeah.
25.
Yeah. Is that
this
from
game in,
like, the launch of Classic, though?
Or yeah, is that, yeah. Okay. It's like OG RuneScape.
Okay,
yeah. So
okay,
OSRS is celebrating
mm-hmm.
With the other ones, I assume. But yes, the entire RuneScape project has celebrated its 25th anniversary, which feels wild.
Yeah, that doesn't seem... I mean, I know it's right. It's weird to me that there are feasibly a pretty high non-zero number of people playing that game who are younger than that game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is really weird. Oof.
For an MMO, too. Like, it's not,
right.
It's not like
yeah.
a Mario Kart 64 or something where someone digs a console out
so,
of the basement.
It's like, actually, they just celebrated the 25th. It's January 2001. So technically, RuneScape happened before 9/11, which is nuts. Huh. But as part of that, they, I guess they do this every year.
Winter Summit. Yeah. I saw that happened. I intentionally dodged it, and I have been cycled off the game for a number of weeks now. Months now, maybe? I don't know. So I am
okay.
I have one data point from like the last couple months here, and we're gonna cover that towards the end because that's my thing. But
okay,
I cannot imagine it is related in any way to anything you're gonna talk about.
We will see. There's some weird stuff in this list, but I imagine that it is probably not.
I will be floored if they're related.
All right, that sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you, like, give a overview of what Winter Summit is? Like, is it
a keynote.
Festival? It's a keynote.
They do
okay.
a couple keynotes a year. So, I mean, like, I'm not actively watching OSRS content currently, but I'm obviously still subscribed to all those people. So it looked like they flew out more content creators than normal this year.
Interesting,
which is probably a good sign, and it seemed like everyone was pleased. Like I saw,
okay,
a number of positive thumbnails. So
okay, smiling
from,
faces,
yeah,
and thumbs
from,
up
from disparate people as well. Like not so. Well, I'm very curious to see what all was covered and what's on the roadmap going forward.
Okay. So I have pulled up their press release that they put out. I actually received this in my inbox on January 26th, and I scrolled through it and said, I don't know what any of those things are, but I bet I know somebody who does. So I think we will go down this list because you've already said some of the words to me
That's
in
good.
Private. So I'm kind of curious what most of this stuff means. So the first one, which I don't think you have a ton of feelings on, but is interesting to me that it has rolled out so quickly, is that they are expanding the sailing skill already.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so there's new quests, a Barracuda trial, whatever that means,
sure.
And then more activities around the Red Reef. Have you... I think we talked about this before, but you have not engaged with sailing kind of at all. Like,
not even
like
a tiny
personally
bit.
Or even seen it. Have
no.
You?
I mean, I've seen a couple GIFs, I want to say. And I think they were ones Jagex put out. I know Settled is doing a sailing series that I'll get to eventually. I don't know. I'm still a little butthurt about it. Probably why I'm not playing the game currently. I'll get there eventually.
I do feel like part of the reason you quit playing is that the last time I remember you playing was when we sat down and did agility trials for 3 hours. So,
oh, that was fun.
That has to do something with it, right?
No, man, I almost started doing recreational agility a couple days after that. It was frightening.
Oh no.
No, I'm just going to be permanently bummed out about the existence of sailing, I think.
Okay.
And eventually I'll get over that. But that's kind of,
yeah,
that's kind of the nice thing about RuneScape is it doesn't go anywhere. It's going to be there when you want it to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Okay. So not much on sailing. They did say that they are expanding it with a raft of additional content.
They like their shitty puns. I use that term endearingly.
Yeah. After playing a little bit of Dragon Wilds, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're into the real meat of stuff.
Okay.
So this is broke up into a large chapter, and then there is just like the OSRS Winter Summit stuff.
Okay.
I'm not going to touch on, I mean, unless you want to dig into RuneScape, we can. Like, but I only have the OSRS. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. If there are things mentioned in there about microtransactions, we should hit that at the end. But
okay,
if it's good content stuff,
I know that they have changed things.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk to you about that.
Let's end with that chunk, because that'll transition into my tinfoil hat territory, where we will be ending the evening.
Tinfoil hat territory. Perfect. All right. So, Blood Moon Rises.
Ooh. Okay.
What do you think this means?
So, I'm assuming that is related to Perilous Moons. Which I have yet to... I have really not touched the new continent still. So Perilous Moons is a... what if we made Barrows today? And put it somewhere else. It's like a mid-level content where you're getting kind of your first taste of gear that really exceeds Rune and Dragon, is my understanding of it.
Okay.
But it's significantly, maybe we should do a chunk on that at some point, because I think it's supposed to be significantly more engaging than the original Barrows, which you were woefully unimpressed by.
I would say underwhelmed.
Yeah. So maybe it might be a fun thing to hit like two pieces of content that are ostensibly filling the same like gameplay slot, but one that was made 20 years ago and one that's been made under like the modern ethos of Jagex design.
Okay.
Or I'm wrong and that's not what this is about. Either way, everything I said about Perilous Moons is right, but I don't know if it actually is what you're talking about now that I think about it.
So is the Mire Q storyline related to Perilous
Myreek.
Moons?
No.
Myreek.
It is not.
Okay.
So the Myreek are the underground resistance that are fighting the vampire lords in the swamplands.
Okay. So Blood Moon Rises is the Grandmaster tier quest finale.
Oh.
That will conclude their story.
Interesting. Okay.
So I guess there is a conclusion to be had.
Yeah. So they started expanding. Why have I forgot the name of that entire territory? It's been a while since we've done
Mauritania.
This. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I play RuneScape.
You do play RuneScape. They expanded a bunch of quests in there right around when Settled's series was really popping off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of accelerated some development there. And they left it at a pretty big cliffhanger after, I think, Sons of the Father is the last, Sins of the Father, sorry, is the last quest in that chain that we've done. And I believe that was a Grandmaster quest as well.
And what does that mean?
So they lump quests into various difficulty tiers that roughly give you an idea of how long the quest will be, how complicated the quest will be, and a ballpark on like your skills required. So Grandmaster is the most difficult tier. You should expect probably multiple difficult fights at this point, but at least one very difficult fight. You'll probably need multiple skills over 60, sometimes over 70. And it's going to take you 3 to 6 hours with a guide, and maybe significantly more without one, depending on the quest and how old it is. So it's okay. They're not hard set rules. It's kind of vibe based, but
sure,
the vibes are that will be probably pretty complicated, multiple hours, multiple fights. They're usually like your quest line finales, or hit the Grandmaster okay. tier.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's interesting. So Sins of the Father came out in 2020.
Yeah.
And that is... Right.
Darkness of Hallowvale is probably right before that one.
A Taste of Hope.
Oh, Taste of Hope. Okay, yeah. I think, so you and I have talked about maybe just kind of covering some of these quest lines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I still think we should maybe do that. The Vampire quest line's real good. Top
three. Yeah, this kind of seems like the time to do it for this one, if there's going to be a thrilling conclusion.
I'm somewhat hesitant, just from like a spoiler sort of thing, to dig through these, but also I forget that, like, if you started playing this seriously right now,
mm-hmm.
It would be probably 6 months minimum before you would be able to do that quest.
To do a something Grandmaster?
Yeah. Like
that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, like, what are the quest requirements for Sins of the Father? Let's see. Okay, they're not that bad. 62 woodcutting, 60 fletching, 52 agility, 50 slayer, 95 combat. Yeah, I mean, if you came in just to hammer the vampire quest line, you could do it in less than 6 months. But
mm-hmm.
that's not how either of us play games. So
no, sure isn't.
Like, realistically, if you were gonna do this, I would say it would probably be like 3 or 4 years before you got this far. So
okay,
maybe we should, I should figure out a way for us to kind of
experience
it. Yeah, because there's some real fud stuff in these, and this one is dark. This quest line is straight fucked. Like, some of these quests are very Monty Python, very silly,
mm-hmm.
Kind of toss off fun little snippets of lore. And then this one, like, we have blood tithes going on. Like, there's a slave market at some point for humans. Like, this one goes places.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one has a tone, and it is different than a lot of the rest of the game.
Okay.
It's real good, though. It's real good, but it's fucking tragic.
Hell yeah. Well, I guess this summer, you're going to be able to kill the fucker who's in charge of it. Lower Neil.
Drakon.
Vergadiad Drakon.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I find it interesting that I'm sure these 2006 quests are before the OSRS stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because OSRS was
2007 backup. So 2006 quests are before the snapshot that OSRS is even based on, let alone OSRS existing itself. So
then they rolled out, so that's In Search of the Myreek, In Aid of the Myreek, Darkness of Hallowvale is all pre-snapshot.
Yep.
And then A Taste of Hope comes out in 2018,
yep.
Sins of the Father in 2020. And that is when you hatch a plan to kill Drakon. And now, 6 years later, you will finally be able to kill this guy.
Yeah. And that's how RuneScape quest lines work.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And you'll see, like, they go from probably beginner or intermediate all the way through Grandmaster, mm-hmm. I would assume.
Yeah, intermediate experience, Sins of the Father is Master, and then Blood Moon is Grandmaster.
Yeah, so like In Search of Myreek, the first one, you could do this the first day you start playing the game. Like, if you were...
Oh, yeah.
If you knew where you were going. There's a couple of real short prerequisites in Mauritania, and it needs 25 agility, which is boostable. So you could, if you're not playing an Iron Man, you could do it at 20 agility if you eat a summer pie.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you have a significant amount of level gaining to do before you can make it to the Grandmaster tier. And completing this one is not necessarily going to give you what you need to do the next one in the chain, which is fine when you have, you know, 10 quest lines that all kind of do this. You can sort of bounce around and make that happen without significant intentional grinding. But if you come in, you're like, man, I just want to do the vampire quest line, then that's a tough ask.
That's not really gonna happen.
Yeah, we'll have to workshop some ideas on how to make a functional experience for this through audio.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully something that doesn't require me to make a second account and replay all these. But maybe yeah. That's what it is. I don't know.
That's gonna be a tough road to hoe.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Next item. Raids number 4.
Oh. Okay.
There's a new raid.
In the new continent?
Let's see. It is called the Fractured Archive.
That's a good name. That could be a Destiny map. That could be a lot of things.
Sure could be. Let's see here. Upcoming raid first announced in Winter Summit. Described as the toughest raid yet, will be a combat-focused bossing experience with minimal skilling or puzzle elements in a manner similar to that of Theater of Blood.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, 8-player team up.
That's fine. Is there scaling? Does it have scaling of any kind?
I'm not seeing anything about that. The wiki page is quite sparse on this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is, let's see here. The archive was built by followers of Guthix in order to store Guthix knowledge and items at the bottom of the Chasm of Tears.
Oh, is that where Tears of Guthix are in Lumbridge?
Lumbridge Swamp Caves.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Interesting. So I still have not done While Guthix Sleeps. That was the last really big quest that came out when I was still like actively churning through quests.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to do that one if you want to get into this raid.
Which I think you and I are going to do While Guthix Sleeps together someday.
Okay.
It's a couple hours. We can do it in a chunk or two. But that one's...
It's a Grandmaster quest.
Yeah. And that one is pretty... When it came out in RS3, that one was real big for the lore. That was like a strong delineation point lore-wise. So I've dodged most of what that quest is in OSRS. I think I read a little bit about it for the runecrafting episode we did forever ago. But yeah, we should do that one also. So that's interesting. So the downside to doing a really high-level PVM-focused raid is the percentage of people who can actually, like, do that content is pretty low when you look at the population of the game, but it's pretty high when you look at the population of the people who don't shut up about the game. It's tough. And it drives traffic, too. Like, all of the content creators will be putting out stuff, and there'll be a buzz about it, and it'll get people excited.
Yep.
But not a lot of them will be able to actually do it. So it's an interesting decision on where you spend your dev time. Because something like that might have pretty good impact from like a cultural standpoint, but it's not gonna...
And maybe a signups standpoint, right? Like you get more people who are interested in the game.
Yeah, we'll see.
I guess.
If we get bump. I mean, at minimum, it's gonna provide me some opportunity to make a shitload of gold buying and selling stuff, because it'll really mess up the economy for a while. Are they putting out like tier 90 gear with that? I would assume then. Are we getting
a bunch of
new best in slot stuff? They'd almost have to. They would have to. It would be very weird if they put out a new most difficult raid and it didn't have new best in slot equipment attached to it. But like Theater of Blood has been typically considered the hardest raid since it came out. That was a long time ago, like 2018 or something, maybe.
Okay. I have sent you...
God, Theater of Blood was 2018. Why do I know that? I've never even done it.
Someday you will do it. Here, I have sent you two boss concepts.
Okay.
That will be inside the temple here. The Guthixian Archive Guardian is a real cool-looking skull. That concept art's
real good. Oh, that's real good.
It's a big floating skull with vines holding its lower jaw together. Ugh, it's good stuff.
That's pretty excellent. It's what, like 3-4 times the size of a player character, it looks like?
Yeah, that it's like a giant skull.
Good job, Modger.
It is massive.
That's some good concept art. And it's done in like Graphics Engine already, too. Like, it's not just sketches. Yeah. There's a model there of some kind.
Yeah.
Or a mock-up of a model, at least.
The Archive Guardian's design is based on Guthix's appearance in the God Letters.
Oh, Ezekiel is floating skull. Sorry, I've moved
okay.
on.
So okay. I was going to say this guy looked kind of boring to me, but is there a reason he is interesting to you?
Yeah. So that looks like a justiciar armor to me. This guy, which would have been like a general of Ceridamen. So this is an interesting character to have in a Guthix themed area. So like the bottom of the hilt there, that star, we see that same star repeated on the cloak. Yeah, that is very, if you pull up like the Ceridamen sword or the Ceridamen god sword, you'll see some of that iconography.
Oh yeah, yep.
And yeah, the justiciar armor looks very similar to this with the blue undertones. So you cool. fight a guy like this during Mage Arena 2. I don't remember what they call this enemy.
Zachariah. That.
Oh, okay.
Justiciar Zachariah.
Okay. And that's the one from Mage Arena 2.
Mage 2, yep.
So we're getting a lot of real biblical names here, aren't we? With these.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just not accidental.
Yeah, he is of the owl. Is his title there. I don't know. This guy's maybe of the wolf or of the bear. Maybe bear with the cloak there.
I have not heard the moniker, but if you pull off the Ceridamen, what is it called? Pull up the Sanguinesti staff, and then it's the Ceridamen ornament kit for the Sanguinesti staff, I think is a big fuck off owl.
Okay. Interesting,
but like it's got more like Athena vibes to me than
oh yeah
is that did I get the right staff that it is an owl?
No
okay
that it that is a staff it is a bat this is no, also the, related the, to Drakon.
Yes that's the staff but look up the Ceridamen ornament kit for that staff.
Oh my god,
we're one layer deeper.
Oh man. Ornament.
It should be a link from the Sanguinesti staff. There'll be a section for the two ornament kits.
Oh yeah, no, that is certainly that is that owl. You are correct.
Okay.
The Justicar group, the page here lists the lion, the owl, the unicorn, and the wolf.
Oh.
As different four known groups of them operating in Hollow Vale.
All right.
Pink. Wow. Okay, so this stuff is related. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that Drakon is showing up here. I wonder if they're doing something here.
So yeah, I mean the Justiciars fought Drakon at some point, which I think is why. So you get the Justiciar armor set from Theater of Blood. That's where it drops. So I think the lore there is like they fought a long time ago and kept all the cool gear as loot, and you were like raiding that loot room at the end of the raid there.
Okay.
But this would have been like long fucking time ago. Like
Like these were still like these guys fought in the God Wars.
Yeah, this is back when like your boy Guthan was either not born or still a dude.
Yeah. Oh, my son. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so that's interesting that this guy is showing up in this particular raid.
Yeah. Yeah.
For many reasons.
Yeah. I wish I had something more cogent to say about that other than a little unexpected. But maybe if I had, you know, like done Walgothic Sleep by now, maybe it wouldn't be as unexpected. But we will learn together.
Sarah, I'm just getting that people should use Ceridamen brews in Walgothic Sleeps. So no hits on control F.
Okay. That's good, probably. I guess we'll probably end up doing a Walgothic Sleeps episode at some point. Mm-hmm. But like in RS3, I mean, the timeline it's split into two and it's kind of fucked now. But like the gods are just dudes walking around that you can go chat with.
Oh.
Like you just.
I don't think I knew that.
You can just go talk to Ceridamen and Zamorak. And I think maybe you fight Zamorak now at some point. Maybe you kill Zamorak. I am well out of my depth. But that's not a vibe that I particularly look forward to. I think I like it much better where these gods are a little less concrete
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I prefer that as well most of the time. Yeah, interesting. Okay, okay, okay. I'm seeing a through line here, which I didn't expect to see. I don't know how this ties to the raft of content for sailing, but
it probably maybe it doesn't. Does.
All right, next item on the list.
Uh-huh.
We had raids 4, and now we have leagues 6.
Okay.
The demonic packs is what this one is called.
So this is new then. So the leagues, they've done some repetition with a few of the ideas. So I'm guessing this, judging from the name, this will be an entirely new gimmick, is my hope.
It seems generally so. Okay, so there's previously been a Leagues. No, there's not been League 6. Bringing back Combat Masteries. Okay,
that might have been from the last one that I didn't partake in.
Bonus XP drops, loot boosts, power buffs, bringing back Combat Masteries. And then it says, expect all new relics, tasks, and truly demonic rewards.
Okay.
Oh, this is a text link. Mm-hmm. I'm tapping the text link. Oh, this is a fucking guy. Is what this guy is. There is quite a demon looking dude. Unclear. It looks like Satan on a poor lady.
Oh, this guy in the back here.
I should maximize. Do you know who that man is?
Maybe. Okay, so there's a couple. There's a dozen quests I haven't done. So this guy is very greater demon Zamorak coded. The person in the cage looks to have Elder Chaos robes on of some kind. I'm not sure what they're holding.
Okay.
Zama?
It's like a walking stick almost.
Is this? I don't think this is Zama, but I think that's the demon who I know exists that I'm not like super up on. I mean, this guy looks like Krill a fair bit. So this is probably a Zamorakian general of some kind.
You're right. This guy does look like Krill. He's just like one of the most stereotypical like red flesh demon guy, cloven hooves, wings.
Yama, not Zama, is who I was thinking of. So this Yama. Might be, maybe this is Yama or something semi-related.
Oh that's that looks like Yama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've done something that involved this enemy, but I think this was expanded since I kind of dipped out of the higher level stuff. And there's like a new combat focused mini game fighting this dude that you can earn a lot of coin with. I think this is where they shoved some of the new best in slot melee armor. It was on this guy's drop table.
Okay.
So I'm not super familiar with Yama or the, I don't even remember what that mini game is called now. I'll have to catch up on Yama. The disciples of Yama are cool though. Okay, so maybe that's just a disciple of Yama in the cage because their robes are pretty similar to Elder Chaos, I think.
Oh, okay. So it looks like they've been doing Yama stuff in May of 2025.
Yeah, I was gonna say it feels like about a year.
Is he new? New?
Pretty new. I think.
Oh yeah.
I think Yama was maybe referenced. Maybe you fight like a lieutenant of Yama at the end of one of the quest lines in Zaya, Kingdom Divided, maybe?
Yep, that sure is a quest.
Oh, what was it? It was a something of Yama was in that quest.
The voice of Yama.
That could be. That could
the judge of Yama.
Okay, that
the
feels
judge
right.
of Yama.
Yeah, and that dude kind of kicks ass from what I remember. I think I did do that quest.
Oh, yeah, this guy looks cool.
Yeah, okay, yes, that's who I was thinking of then.
This guy's got a fucking face. He has like a, like imagine if you were wearing a gorilla mask, but the mouth was pulled like the Scream mask. That's kind of what his vibe is.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me.
I like this guy.
He kind of reminds me a bit. Let's see if I'm thinking of the right thing. Ko the Face Stealer? Oh, you don't know the Last Airbender stuff, do you? That's right.
Correct.
Never mind. We'll do something different with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've expended my knowledge of Yama and related cultists or disciples or whatever they are.
Explosive loot and reality warping relics. Interesting.
So, yeah, if you are unfamiliar with leagues in RuneScape, they are limited time game modes. They usually run for a number of weeks that has been extending, probably like 6 or 8, something like that. They do an alternate rule set. It's like a kind of like a weird messed up private server, essentially. you'll get way faster XP. They set up entirely alternate rule sets. You get to break the game in just really weird and fun ways, and it gives everyone kind of a cool new thing to just think about real hard in RuneScape in ways that you haven't got to do. I think at least half of the fun of leagues is planning your route through and the choices you're going to make. The better leagues give you very meaningful, typically close to binary choices to kind of churn through. So they've done ones where you're like locked by region, where everyone will start in Lumbridge, but you only have access to Lumbridge and Draenor and that kind of surrounding area. And as you complete tasks, which are usually just, they're what quests are in other MMOs. Go kill 20 of these things, chop down this many trees, complete this dungeon 5 times, that kind of thing. But there'll be hundreds of them to choose from, and they'll each have a point value. And as you gain points, you'll unlock new regions, or maybe you'll unlock new skills. Maybe you only start with, you know, like 6 of the skills available to you, and every X number of tasks you complete, you can unlock a new skill to keep using. So it just gives you a completely new way to approach the game. And the XP rates are very silly.
Okay.
So in some ways, I think this is like a fun way to maybe start playing RuneScape. But on the other hand, it's way more complicated.
It gets wiped.
And it gets wiped. And if you get accustomed to like a 12x XP rate, I don't know how you step away from that.
Sure.
And go back to 1x forever. That might be tough. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Depending on the person, this could be a good way to start or the worst way to start.
Yeah, fair.
For me, it's the worst. Okay. I didn't start doing like they typically have been very poorly timed for my personal life. And when I was really early on, the limited nature of it kept me away for a bit.
Yeah. Do they repeat them?
They're real fun. So they've repeated 2 of them, I think.
Okay.
I think they repeated the Trailblazer got repeated, and I did the second Trailblazer League, and that was an absolute blast. I feel like they repeated one other one. Trailblazer's like kind of the, if you're going to put a league at the top of the mountain, I think Trailblazer is the one.
It does not seem like they have repeated them. Just Trailblazer.
Okay.
Twisted, Trailblazer, Shattered Relics, Trailblazer Reloaded, Raging Echoes, and now Demonic Packs. Huh. Yeah, it's interesting because to me, from what you're saying, I guess it's not quite a perfect match, but this feels very much like the No Man's Sky expeditions. Like this is a new sequestered off way to have like a specific goal-oriented playthrough that's like kind of authored content that's different than what you're used to. But No Man's Sky lets you transition that into like a final save or export items from that to your main account. Is there any of that with this?
A little bit. So depending on your placement, so you get league points of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And depending on, they end up tiering those out. They've changed the math on it a few times, so I'm going to try to not be super specific, but they'll say the top 5% of players fall into some bracket, and then the next chunk fall into another. Eventually, I think they changed it to static amounts, so people stopped playing as unhealthily as they were. I think they switched it to, like, instead of being in the top 5%, you just need to have 12,000 points or more.
Okay.
Because if it's percentage-based, you can theoretically do, you could be in the top 10 with, you know, 3 weeks left and stop playing and then get knocked out of that tier.
Right.
And so based on that delineation, you'll get awarded some points that can be used in a cosmetic rewards shop, and those carry through to the main game.
Mm-hmm.
And those cosmetics are also tradable.
And
the shop is stocked forever. So I didn't play Twisted League. I was in classes for that one, and I knew better than to try. So
smart.
But I could play Demonic Packs League, earn a bunch of league points, go to that shop, and buy a bunch of gear from the Twisted League that was released.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the only like real time, and even if I don't play this league, I could just go spend a couple million gold on those items too, or even less.
So, okay.
Yeah, they've.
Yeah, so there is some amount of carryover. That's
so
nice.
the only like FOMO is the experience, since that goes away.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised that they haven't run these more often, I guess.
So
19, 20, 22.
It's an absolute 23, 24. Fuckload of dev work. Like an incredible amount of dev work. They've started structuring things where you can tell where this has become somewhat of a test bed. So this is how this was the solution to like, how do we keep doing these and justify the dev hours, is they've started to do things in leagues that they know they can port over into the main game in some form.
I see.
So it won't be like a one-to-one thing, but it'll be, okay, we developed this tech, this code to use in one direction in the league. But if we turn all the numbers down and switch a couple things around, we can reuse this same complicated block of code to make a boss in the main game 6 months from now in a way that we wouldn't have been able to spend the dev hours on that boss for the main game either.
Hmm.
But yeah, it is a ton of, so A, it's a ton of work. B, I have to assume other people are like me where they burn themselves out doing this. Like, I will play the league hard for a couple weeks, and then I'm going to walk away from the game for 6 months is typically what happens.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because like I said, the No Man's Sky comparison is the one that comes to my mind, and I definitely did that for some of the expeditions where I got to unlock the Normandy and stuff.
Oh, that's good.
But this strikes me as a thing that, because they ended up getting to the cadence where I think every couple months they just like replay them on rotation.
Okay.
So you can like join an expedition from like 3 years ago if you missed it. And I'm kind of surprised that they don't do that. But it sounds like if you're going to like really go hard on them, then you don't want to line it up too much.
Yeah. And it's very much a community event where like everyone is cooking strategies at the same time. For like, what is the efficient route through? So if you start with just Lumbridge and, well, here, let me just pop open Trailblazer Reloaded so I can give you some slight specifics on the regions.
Corrand and Kebos?
Kebos?
Kebos.
Kebos. So that was the first continent added in old school.
Okay.
Okay, so Trailblazer Reloaded ran from November 15 through January 10. So yeah, a couple of weeks. Areas. So by default, you had Mystalin and Karamja unlocked. So Karamja's an island. That's where the pirates are. Mm-hmm. Mystalin is covering Falador, Varrok, Lumbridge. Your kind of core free-to-play area.
Okay.
And then once you got 60 points, you could unlock 60, 140, and 300. You were able to unlock a region. But there's a total of 8 other regions in the game that you could unlock, and you can only ever unlock 3 more.
Oh,
and each
that's
of those
cool.
regions, like, that's where those certain bosses are. So certain gears locked to certain regions. Certain quests are locked to certain regions. And you can't pick all of them. So there's a lot of like baking to be done on figuring out, okay, which are the 3 I pick, and then which what like series of tasks am I going to complete to unlock the next one, and how quickly, like it's a mad dash on day one for people to try to blast through as far as they can. Like this is a thing where you'll see people stream for like 30 hours straight. Just like hammering through, and they'll sleep for 4 and do another 30. Like, this is
crazy town.
Yeah. This is where, if you want to play this game like a real crazy person, this is where you do it.
This is the mode to do it now.
And then like each time you would unlock a region, you would also get a series of perks you could choose that would do wild shit. Here, let me just pull up the tier 8 relics. That's the highest tier.
And are these relics restricted to, like, this is just the concept of relics only really exists in League?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, this was a tier 7 relic. Berserker. Damage dealt is increased by 0.4% for each hit point missing. The player is guaranteed to hit their max hit on an NPC if the NPC is at full health.
Okay.
And so something like that, and then you think about like all of the weird shit in this game, you can min-max the hell out of that.
So Soul Stealer was also a tier 7 relic. The player's minimum hit is increased by 10% of their max hit. Upon a successful hit, there's a 50% chance that player's hit points and prayer points are restored by 10% of that damage rounded up.
Jeez.
So you just stay somewhere forever.
Yeah.
And those are like, okay, oh, this was the big decision point that year during the planning phase that ended up becoming really obvious, relatively obvious, which one you should have taken. But tier three relic, this was the big one that year. There was only two options, Banker's Note and Fire Sale. these are fun. So okay. Banker's Note must be unlocked in a bank as the player is given an item upon unlocking this relic. Okay, that makes sense. Players are given a banker's note, which allows players to use notable items on it to turn them into banknotes or unnote them. So that's a thing you can normally only do at a bank. So at a bank,
okay,
you can pull, if you have 100 oak short bows in your bank, you can pull all of them out as banknotes, and they'll only take up one inventory item. And then you can go to a player and trade them all 100 at the same time, instead of having to break that up into blocks of 28 at a time. So what this item does is it lets you do that fucking anywhere. So you can sit at the bottom of a boss dungeon with a stack of 10,000 sharks and just slowly turn them into real sharks and eat them forever.
Yep. Okay.
And the loot you get from killing that guy, you pick it up as an item and then you can turn it into a note, so they stack on top of each other. So suddenly a boss room that takes, 8 minutes to get to, that you could normally get 3 kills for before you had to go bank and redo that 8 minutes, now you can just stay there for fucking ever. And that changes all of the math. So that was one option. The other option was Fire Sale. All items in shops with coins as currency are free.
Cool.
You just buy shit from any shop that takes gold. Yeah, you just get it now. You just go there.
Amazing.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, Banker's Note ended up being generally more powerful. I think I went Fire Sale for like some specific reasons that paid off for me, but I want to say Banker's Note was kind of the correct pick. So yeah, okay. that gives you sort of an idea of like,
yeah, that's
get,
like
you get to just do eight. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's tier 3 of 8.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. Like one of them just gave you agility XP as you walked.
Oh.
So it's just like, oh, do you want to just great. That was a tier 1 relic. It was just like, you want to just have 99 agility in a couple of days, having never done an agility obstacle? Here you go.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tier 2 one here is either get a thing that lets you teleport to any fairy ring, spirit tree, or leprechaun, or get the one that lets you teleport to any teleport locations.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And like that one, you can't normally teleport to some of those. That's cool.
It
gives you a whole weird new way to plan how to play this game. And planning how to play this game is at least 70% of playing this game.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But you can see like, how do you QA test that?
Oh yeah. That'd be an absolute nightmare.
Right. So that's why this happens once every 2 years. At the high.
That makes sense. That they come out with a new one every 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can see like how you could use like these relics and things to build in tech that you could transfer back to the main game. And it also gives them an option to like test certain things in ways you wouldn't otherwise be able to.
Yeah. I can understand that. That's cool. That especially if they start rolling some of this. I mean, they will never roll Fire Sale into the main game. But
right.
But like trying out some of these other mechanics or even like boss styles.
Stackable clues started in leagues. That was a league thing for years, for a lot of years, like through a lot of leagues. That was a relic option that would give you stackable clues. Usually it increased drop rates and did some other stuff too. But that was one of the big points was clue boxes come from leagues and have now migrated into the main game.
That's cool. Okay. Huh, that's neat.
There was a whole new prayer book in one of them. Like, yeah, they do all kinds of stuff. It's a good thing.
Okay. So when they talk about like all new relics, tasks, and demonic rewards, like they are going all out on something like this to really mess it up.
Yeah, you're probably talking thousands of development hours, I would guess, for one of these.
That's cool. Okay. And this is the Satan one. So Hail Satan, number of the beast, etc. All right. I guess the next thing, talking about like changing up games, we've got two and a half things here.
Okay.
One of them is Beware the Ides of Milk.
That means absolutely nothing to me other than the allusion to Caesar.
Perfect. So this is
like M-I-L-K, milk?
Yeah.
From a moo cow?
Yeah.
Okay.
The result of the most recent game jam, a new bovine boss is terrorizing Lumbridge, and players will be able to take on Brutus the cow boss as they find out about the ongoing feud between Seth Groats and Cassius.
Okay. So there's been a huge content hole for early to mid game. I mean, really fucking anything, but especially bosses. This is a lot of stuff I'm not up to date with because I've leveled out of it and I just haven't gone back to it yet. But for a long time, it was like, okay, you're fighting goblins until you're doing barrows. And then after you're doing barrows, you're fighting like a Vorkath or a Zolra, which is, you've seen those fights. Way more complicated than barrows. Like,
yes.
No number of barrows runs is going to prepare you to fight Zolra.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So they've started adding in these lower and mid-tier stuff. A, so there's just more stuff to do at that level than just killing the same thing forever. But B, they're able to start scaffolding some of those higher level PVM concepts of gear switching and prayer switching earlier on and in a lower stakes environment. So when you do go fight Zolra, it's, 20 or 30% harder than anything you've done, not 700% harder than anything else you've ever done.
Okay.
They did a big crab boss recently too, which I think is like one of the new AFK melee training methods. Like, I think that's supplanted Nightmare Zone for,
I'm
pretty sure it's a crab group boss. Gemstone Crab, I think it's called.
Yeah. I did definitely Google OSRS crab boss and that is the first hit.
Yeah.
And it says new AFK combat training method, Gemstone Crab.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I read the wiki. I've not seen this crab yet. I read patch notes sometimes.
That's a cool looking crab. It is what it says on the tin. It is a crab. What got gemstones on him?
And everyone stands in a circle and just slaps the hell out of it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so they're adding a cow.
Yeah, good.
Brutus.
Good.
Brutus the cow boss. I have not. Let's see if I can find Brutus the cow boss. Okay. Okay. Based on the search results, there are two distinct popular topics related to a cow boss that seems to fit your description. Okay. Yeah. The first one here is Bruce the cow. He's a social media sensation. He's a 1,000-pound dairy cow. He was adopted at 3 days old by Elias Herrera in Idaho. He's known for bossing around the house, joining workouts, and participating in cooking videos. I suspect that I might like this cow content. Unclear.
What's
about,
Bruce's magic level? I'm trying to figure out how effective the twisted bow is going to be at the cow boss.
I don't know about his magic level, but it does say he's described as acting like a dog, and he often sneaks into the kitchen and steals food. So sneak.
How
pretty
big was
high.
That thing? There was a comma.
1,000 pounds.
Yeah. I question their definition of sneak.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that one. I'm looking at a video here with that's just a fucking dairy cow, my friend, and that is inside his house.
Cow in someone's house.
Yeah,
you can just do whatever you want.
The second one here though is our friend Brutus, and there are no further details.
Okay.
Google is pretty confident that I'm referring to Bruce the cow, the viral pet.
I'm sure it is.
Not the cow boss.
Yeah, Google's not good at things anymore.
Oh, shit. Brutus is...
That cow is probably
I'm
dropping...
seeing the thumbnail.
Probably dropping noted cow hides, I would expect.
Let's see if I can snag this image
what
real
else
quick.
Would be? What else would be on a cow boss drop
this
list?
This is a fucking cow. This Bruce the cow and Brutus the cow are not the same.
Brutus the cow is like, yeah, like mad at Wall
Ferdinand
Street.
Ferdinand the bull. Yeah. Yeah, this yeah. guy. This guy is having a time. I like Brutus. I don't know what he has to do with Seth Groats and Cassius. Do we know Groats. Who Cassius is? Seth Groats exists. He has the chicken farm between Lumbridge and Varrock.
Between Lumbridge. Oh, is that One Kick Rick's farm? I think that's One Kick Rick's farm. You don't know One Kick Rick.
I don't know about One Kick Rick. I do know about Gilly Groats, though, I think. If she is in the free-to-play area, I think I know her.
I don't think I do.
I think this is like one of the very... Yeah, it's right in the cow pasture. Yeah, I have chatted with Gilly Groats before. I thought I had chatted with Seth Groats, but it appears I have not because he was removed from the free-to-play worlds on the 5th of November, 2025.
Oh, interesting. Weird.
He does the One Small Favor quest.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, this is One Kick Rick's farm.
Interesting.
There was when Ariel so settled did Swampletics, which blew up and changed everything.
Yep.
So there was a shitload of people doing various region locked accounts immediately after that got big because it's a cool idea and. It was popular. Yeah. So there was just a shitload of series. Like, there's a never-ending stream of them that you could watch still to this day. And that doesn't even count the people who weren't, like, uploading their gameplay. And then a creator who goes by Nine Rain did kind of, like, a parody of this sort of concept where he locked himself inside this chicken farm.
Okay.
Which is, like a 10x10 thing with, like, 6 chickens in it and not much else. And just did a bit of a gaff with that, and it ended up going places.
Okay,
so I'm
seeing One at Kick least Rick's 12 part. Episodes.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it holds up. I'm not going to say it holds up. I don't know. I'll rewatch it maybe and let you know.
Amazing.
It was a fun gaff though.
Yeah, that's good. All farm animals must die, says episode 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes places. I think. The Who song makes it in there. H-U, Who, the Mongolian throat singers who do
good metal
stuff and ride motorcycles. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Hell yeah. Okay, well, this is a new free-to-play accessible
free-to-play.
Quest. Yep.
Wow. Okay, free-to-play does not get a lot of updates, content updates, so that's neat.
Yeah, you can go kick this big bull's ass, I guess. Brutus the Cow Boss. Coming soon. Unclear when this is hitting.
Soon TM.
Usually there's dates on these, but even doing a quick search on the wiki for Brutus, it is showing nothing. So
yeah, I mean, some of this stuff is gonna get pulled, I'm sure. So that might be part of why there are no dates.
Yes. Yeah. There's no dates on here. The thing is listed. I don't see it. Interesting.
Soon TM. There will be a big old cowboy.
Yeah, he's a real spooky looking cow. All right. The second to last
left?
Thing here.
Or was that the half?
That was the half. This is the big one. Okay. This is technically taking up the same amount of text as the stuff we have already gone over.
Oh.
It's like 3 bullet points. So, well, I guess we're going to talk high level, but this section is called Dead Man, Dead Man, Dead Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what I think that's, is that mean? Active now? I think that's active now. I think that it started
it
last
might be.
Week. So, Dead Man mode is another alternate game mode. I think there's a couple permanent servers of it now, but it is another alternate rule set. PvP is enabled basically everywhere. And I want to say you lose like most of your bank as well when someone kills you and some XP.
Yikes.
So it's like very much a nod to like your very old school brutalist MMOs.
Sure.
So this is a thing for the PvP community. Or if people are looking for stuff to watch, go watch Hanani do Deadman mode.
Hanani.
Okay. So Hanani is a chaotic force of nature who cannot be contained.
Okay.
Not everyone will enjoy this content. This is not made for everyone, but for the people it's made for, it's a real good time. We're going to talk about, we're going to do an episode on a Hanani video about trying to lure a dark wizard into the Grand Exchange. I think I've maybe mentioned this before.
Okay. So yeah, I think you have.
We'll cover that at some point. But Hanani figured out that, so Dead Man Won't does a pretty similar thing where like they're kind of ranking players by some metric. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, I should back up a little bit further. This goes for a couple of weeks, just like leagues do. You start with a fresh account. Start on, they're all completely separate servers. None of this stuff interacts with the main game. And okay. you play the game for those couple of weeks. And at the end, they take a limited number of players and do like 1v1 round robin fight tournament. And you yep. have the equipment that you have gathered over those weeks you get to bring with you for these 1v1 fights.
Okay.
In the past, the way they would do this is they would push everyone onto the same server and do like a PUBG final circle to pick to pick the people for the 1v1s. So there would just be like 700 people in the wilderness just wall of deathing each other and like all clan-based stuff. You can't tell what the fuck's going on. It was just a nightmare. And like it didn't work out well, but it is very funny. It's a really interesting thing to do. But like this game engine is not built for that.
Sure.
And it also meant that like if you didn't have to be good if you had enough friends. Streamers would typically get taken out because they would get targeted. Like it turns into this it provided some weird perverse incentives. So then they switched it to like, hey, what if we just grab the top chunk of the leaderboard for this instead of doing this kind of wishy-washy any given Sunday sort of thing. And the way that they broke up the worlds was by combat level. So when you were between like 10 and 30, you would be in one server. And then once you hit combat level 31, you'd have to move up to the next server where the 30 to 50 people are and so on. I made those numbers up. I don't know what it is. And Annie figured out like, hey, if I only train defense and nothing else, my combat level will stay incredibly low, which means I can stay in the entry server and just chop trees like I want to and max all the skills and do no fighting in the PvP game mode.
Okay.
and I will not spoil how it goes, but that is that is the strategy put forth at the onset is like, hey, what if, this is a very Hanani thing of just like, oh, what if I just ignore the thing you want me to do? And I'm going to do the thing I want to do, and you're all going to suffer for it. And it's good stuff. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, so that's great. But that's Dead Man Mode. It is a very PvP-focused league-style thing. If I was paying more attention, I probably would have done it this year, now that I've been getting more into PvP.
Okay. Well, I mean, you
it's
still
probably
can.
Still going, it's, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's running for another 6 days. So you've got time.
Okay. Let me just burn some sick time real quick.
Yep. So I guess there's two things here. So Dead Man Annihilation is the new Dead Man mode that started in January. Seems like it's run for about 3 weeks. Successor to 2024's Armageddon variant.
Yeah. Okay.
If that means anything to you.
A bit. They shift the rule set around kind of like leagues. Okay. Not to that extent. It's far more similar every year, but...
Okay. It does seem like there are also earn points to be used to acquire cosmetic rewards in the main game also, which is nice. But there's also Dead Man All-Stars.
Okay.
Have you heard of this? I guess it is season 3.
I think that's
the
thing that's happened. Yeah, and I think this was the other solution to the like, oh... All of the content creators that people care about that are good at the thing we're trying to ask them to do, we're not fortunate enough to make it into the thing, so we're just, fuck it, we're just going to fly people out, and we're just going to do our own.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Cool.
I'm not quite sure when that is kicking off, but this, also...
This is going to tie into my tinfoil in the most minor way, now that I think about
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
But yeah, okay.
So on the 21st of February, the day that Dead Man Annihilation ends, you will That's be like able to purchase tickets for the live finale of Dead Man All-Stars, which is appearing at the Rosemont Theater in Chicago, Illinois on the 20th of June. So, you know, if you want to do some traveling.
Huh, that's maybe doable.
Yeah. We'll see how much that costs.
We'll see how, A, how much that costs, and B, if they, you know, sell out in microseconds.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if Ticketmaster is squatting the tickets on this one, or if a bunch of people are hopping on to resell those tickets. That seems like a thing that a game that has its own economist would end up doing.
But also, like people fly to the UK from the States to go do a Winter Summit or a Rune Fest.
Mm.
So
yeah,
this will
that'll be interesting.
This will pull people. That's really interesting that it's happening here. They almost always do these things in the UK.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting specifically it being in Chicago, too. Like, it's not even...
Yeah,
but, like, it is not East Coast big. It's, like, somehow centrally located in the U.S., which is interesting. Like, they're going for a larger U.S. audience for this.
I mean, I think the majority of the most popular streamers and YouTube personalities are U.S.-based. Just by, I mean, it's just kind of the way big numbers work. The UK is not not big relative. So maybe that's the reasoning. It's just like, well, all of the people who are not employees, maybe they're not paying for flights for the contestants then.
Mm,
I wonder if they're putting it in Chicago and just saying, yeah, you figure out how to get there.
World Cup. I'm wondering if this is related to the World Cup also.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
That could be. Okay.
Yep. World Cup starts June 11th and goes through that week.
Okay.
And kind of continues afterwards, which is all, it is not taking place in Chicago. It is the closest one is Kansas City. And then every other major metro area has World Cup matches in it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That also might be related. Hotel prices, etc.
Yeah. 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 We should all right. We should look into that.
Yeah.
We have a week before tickets would theoretically go on sale. Is that
yes.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Here's my last thing for you.
Oh boy. Okay.
This is the part where I'm gonna maybe spend some of your money.
Okay.
Wasn't the Chicago part. It wasn't, turns out. I didn't notice
well,
that.
Well, I
until
will
too
thank
late.
You in advance for paying for our Chicago trip then.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. I'm sure that they have done this before, but there is I'm gonna send you this link in the chat.
I heard a bleep. Yeah. So
and I would like you to look at this keyboard.
Oh, they're just doing a whole keyboard. They contracted someone to do keycaps for a while at some point.
You can, which I think I almost you can buy bought. This. Yeah, you can buy the special edition one. I think that comes with the.
Is this pre-orderable now?
Yes, correct. You can purchase this right now.
Yeah, I'll buy this right now.
But it is a 75 key.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So you know how many damn keyboards I have at my desk.
Yes.
My small keyboard doesn't have F keys on it, which I did intentionally to keep me from playing RuneScape with it. But that means my only keyboards that have F keys are full-size keyboards.
Yeah.
Which is a little unwieldy at times. And sure. This is they have made the correct keyboard, it looks to me. We have arrow keys.
It does.
We have...
It does appear that the keys are hot swappable. So
if they
are
incorrect,
they would
have to be because keys wrong relative to the rest of the community. So I would be moving these around. This doesn't seem that bad. 170 is not insane for what this is.
Yeah, it's a 75 keyboard. It has the RuneScape font for the letters.
Yeah, your function keys correspond to the user interface in the game.
Yeah, and then looks like the space bar is, that's the same color as your health, I assume?
Yeah, I don't know why the space bar is red, to be honest with you.
You just gotta have a tritone keyboard.
Yeah.
It appears that the expensive version gets you the Zuck, molded keycap for the escape key.
Yeah, I don't need that. Or you can pre-order that separately for $60 for that one keycap.
Yeah. It is hand painted. I don't like how it looks.
It comes with a book also. Yeah, he looks a little smished.
He looks a little melty.
A little melty, little mammary as well. A little more.
Yeah, I was gonna say real dead or alive energy on this keycap.
Sucks.
Which I don't love.
A little busty in that depiction. What
and,
is this?
And Zuck does not appear to be busty in the game. I don't know what this book is.
Oh, it's just wall
it's
art.
It's wall art.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so who is on this artwork? We have we have Jad. I don't know what that three-headed dragon is at the top. This says OSRS. I mean, again, I've missed out on a lot of. Oh, this is weird. Okay, so the green guy on the left is boy, words have just fallen out of my head entirely.
Mm-hmm.
God Wars Bandos. I don't remember what his actual name is now. If you look at his kind of gut area of that armor,
Grardor.
His cummerbund, Grardor. Thank you. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
His armored cummerbund. That's yep. the symbol that I pointed out to you in Dragon Wilds.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was one of the generals of the big high war god. And then we have Ziliana in the middle, who was the Ceridoman general. And I don't know that character on the right. I would expect to see Krill there or someone related. I don't know what that green guy is. I don't know what the three-headed dragon on the top is. Each of the heads is... So they've coded melee magic range with colors now pretty consistently. So that looks like we have a melee head, a range head, and a mage head on that three-headed dragon. The other dragon below... Vaguely Elvarg coded.
Okay.
But, which is the end of Dragon Slayer 1. But that could be anything. And then yeah, Jad and the one you have to use hostas on. Drops the hold on. Corporal Beast. Yikes. That's Corp.
Okay.
This is a weird collection of characters. So if that is Elvarg, then our bottom three are very, very old school, like pre-2010, I want to say.
Okay.
Like maybe pre-2005 even, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
and
then
we have God
Wars.
I don't know. I'm really curious to who that individual on the right and the three-headed dragon is.
Yeah, I'm trying to find stuff from the God Wars dungeon where the other two appear, but I am not.
That is, yeah, that's not a God Wars dungeon character. That I can tell you for sure.
Okay.
I feel like I want to say that and the other dragon feel like RS3 characters. Like that guy on the right really looks like an RS3 character to me.
Yeah, he looks like a cyber knight from a very different game.
Yeah, but this says OSRS pre-order bundle, but is there a Oh, yeah, I guess it would be because the UI is entirely different in RS3. Like those symbols are not necessarily the same.
Yeah, huh.
I'll have to follow up on this. I'll probably buy this keyboard, though. Ooh, they have nice desk mats, too.
Yeah, they do. That was the other thing I was going to call out, is that that's not like related to this. But...
start existing. I wonder if this is... So I went to buy some OSRS merch not that long ago, and we've gone and made that prohibitive with tariffs because this ships from the UK.
Yeah, sure.
So I wonder if this is somewhat of a reaction to that, because I'm sure their merch numbers have dropped.
Oh, look at this God Sword one. These are pretty good.
Looking at desk mats or wall art? I guess they have the same
desk
available.
Mats.
So they, yeah, let's see which
the stone ones. Of Joss.
Yeah.
Joss.
Yeah. So that's
Joss.
That's a Walt Gothic sleeps
cool.
thing.
That's pretty neat.
Oh, the face guard of Naitznot is in that God Sword image as well. That's interesting. So that's not a the God Sword one, this is taken at the entrance to the God Wars dungeon, but the helmet there is much newer than anything from God Wars, and that comes from the Fremnic Isles, and that released with Dragon Slayer 2, I think. That face guard. So that's an attachment to a much older helmet. That's an interesting, I don't know why that's there. I would not have put that there if I was making this. That's interesting.
They're just playing fast and loose with the lore.
They are. The League's one is fine. Oh, so okay, so the map of Gelinor is current with no giant black blocks anywhere. They have filled out the desert. So this is all relatively recent then.
Oh, you can just buy this keycap set if you would like.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I want a keyboard that has F keys but doesn't have a numpad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair.
Okay, so the wall art is called 25th Anniversary Wall Art.
Yes.
If you buy it separately. Which makes me think that is an RS3 character and not specifically an OSRS thing.
Yeah.
Same thing with that dragon I don't recognize. And maybe that other dragon I don't recognize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably going to get this keyboard.
Yeah, there you go. I knew I was going to spend some of your money on this episode.
You did it.
I feel better. Well, that's it. That's all I got here for the Winterfest announcements. There's a couple of teeny tiny things that are in this little graphic that they sent out that I will gloss over real quick. Let's see here. The Maggot King repeatable solo boss. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Perfect.
Not at all.
I think that that is part of the Blood Moon Rises block, but I didn't know if that was a separate.
Oh, okay.
Separate
so that's,
thing.
That's probably the hard fight from that Grandmaster quest. They've started taking those hard fights and making them replayable and giving them a drop table. Mm. Like Vorkath. Vorkath is a guy you fight halfway through Dragon Slayer 2. He's like a mid-quest boss.
I see.
And then after the quest, you can go back and fight a souped-up version of that same boss. So that way they get some more legs out of the development time required to make one of these really complicated fights.
Makes sense. Okay. The only other thing on here is a community bingo event.
Yeah, so I saw those and I don't understand anything about how they work. I think you had to do some tasks and game. I don't know. I know almost nothing.
Okay. Yeah, there were no details in the press release about what a bingo event possibly could be.
They did one of those.
I guess we will find out in the autumn.
A while ago. I think it was called Grid something. Something Grid?
The Grid.
No. It wasn't that. No Daft
Punk that one
involved in this bingo card. Maybe, I guess. I didn't do it. I don't know. Gridmaster.
Oh, shit. I might have to... Do you buy vinyl?
No.
Okay, well, never mind. Do you want to start buying vinyl?
I don't. Turns out that stuff's, like, pretty toxic, I think. From an air pollution and a production standpoint, both.
Yeah,
like, I think that stuff just off-gasses some gnarly shit that we don't really talk about.
Yeah. Okay, but what if you could have the 25 years exclusive edition 5LP box set? Does that change how you feel about it?
Sure doesn't. Does not make it less toxic.
Yeah, that's true. These slipcases are pretty cool, though.
I will probably get those things as digital downloads, though.
Perfect.
They do that, usually.
If someone has the scans of these really cool-looking monster fellas, I think that would be cool. We got Jad here, and then I don't recognize these other... maybe is that Vorkath?
Where?
The link I sent you.
Oh, I totally did not... We have Jad, we have a Skelly Boy I don't recognize, we have Soda Steg. Mm-hmm. The middle one is a boss from Theater of Blood. That kind of looks like Zarpus next, which is also from Theater of Blood, but I'm not sure. That might be someone else. And then that is Vorkath on the far right.
Called it out.
Skelly Boy is probably one of the Majorette. Yeah.
Majorat.
Sorry.
Silske.
Be Silske from a lore standpoint. If I had to pick one, that would be my guess. Don't read those. Don't read that page too much.
I think it is a Zemmerregal, but I'm not reading anything.
Yeah.
Just
that would
looking
make
at
sense.
Pictures. Neat. Well, that's available on Laced Records for $128 American dollars. I will not be purchasing that, but. Yeah. Laced Records does sell the entirety of the Deathloop soundtrack on vinyl, which is maybe a thing I will be purchasing now that I'm scrolling this page. Underrated, one of the best soundtracks in video games. So, go check that out if you like a jazzy fun time. Logan?
Yes, sir?
Do you have any final words on the year ahead of us for old school RuneScape? Perhaps anything to say about the economics of it?
Do you want my tinfoil?
Yeah, I want to hear your tinfoil hat theory.
Okay. All right. So I try to avoid tinfoil when possible, at least on mic, at a minimum. So this is all just bullshit I'm saying out of my face hole, and you should probably ignore it. So we'll start with that.
Sometimes we connect things together in our heads, and maybe it's real, but maybe it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel pretty good about this one. But okay. So we talked in the past. I will also preface this. I have not done nearly at the level of research I should to say some of these things, but I'm going to say them anyway. So this isn't that salacious. Perfect. And if people are into any of these ideas, I can go back and give you some more background. But I think we have mostly avoided talking about some of these things intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
We did talk about the impending removal of RS3 microtransactions.
Correct.
When that happened.
Are they gone now?
Probably.
I think so. I think it was like pretty pending when we talked about it.
Yeah, I guess it was a rework, not a removal, but they were getting rid of a lot of the ways you could do some microtransaction-y blind box stuff.
They have been removed as of January 19th, 2026. Treasure Hunter microtransaction system is gone.
Okay, so Treasure Hunter, from my memory, was the blind box business.
Mm-hmm.
You're just pulling the lever on the slot machine. And it's kicking out stuff
yep.
like items, gold, XP, insta-kill, anything, darts, wild shit. RS3 is a different game.
Yes.
Okay. And I remember we talked about this at the time. I didn't have a good reason for it other than thinking that they were maybe dodging legislation or perhaps the lines on the graph finally crossed and this was no longer mm-hmm. profitable. But I didn't feel like super confident about either of those either. From my memory, we were just kind of spitballing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened. I'm going to tell you about another thing that I think is related.
Okay.
Have we talked about Mod Jed?
The name sounds familiar.
Reign of Terror.
You have alluded to this. Yes. Okay. But we have not actually talked about it.
Okay. I'm going to. 1 second.
Mm hmm. Figure out how to put a
voice is failing me.
Uh-oh. I need to find out how to put a marker in Audacity. That feels like a thing I should be able to do.
There you go.
It's true. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So Mod Jed, this is a thing I have not refreshed my memory on. Lots of this happened a long time ago. So I'm mm-hmm. going to give you a TLDR that's probably accurate-ish, maybe. Mod Jed, JGX employee, given the name. Stole a bunch of gold from players using mod tools and then sold it. So like would internally go in and siphon 9 billion gold out of some bastard's account, send it to someone else and then sell that for money.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So then you start getting people who are like, hey man, I did all the security things and my shit's gone. And like no one would believe these people because it sounded insane and it was sporadic. And then eventually dots were connected and I was like, oh, this guy's just fucking stealing shit from the inside. So he got fired, and then Jagex ended up losing a lawsuit about that termination for some dumb bullshit, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Like they didn't quite have all of their paperwork ducks in the correct row to fire this person the way they did, or something along those lines. Interested in that specific part, feel free to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a long time ago. Very recently, like within the last month, some court of appeals things have happened that have reversed some of those decisions.
And interesting.
Yeah. There is a chance that dude will see some further consequences. So here is my tinfoil. The RS3 poll to remove the microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When was this? I had the page up. Here it is.
It was like in October or something.
Started October 30th, closed on the 12th of November, 2025.
Okay.
On the 14th of November, 2025, Jagex strolled into that appeals court and made a brand new argument that, hey, actually, since like Bitcoin's a thing, RuneScape Gold should have real world value per UK law. If this digital currency over here, if we all decide that stealing a Bitcoin is illegal, then stealing a gold piece should also be illegal.
Yep.
And they were successful with this argument. So to me, if they make that argument and they leave the blind box in, they are now doing gambling.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So by eliminating the blind boxes, they're kind of covering their tail. Like, obviously, they knew they were going to make this court argument well before the 12th, well before the 30th. That stuff takes time. But part of me wonders, like, okay, we're going to run this poll. And unless it's, you know, like 95-1 or 95-5, please keep our microtransactions, then we're going to go into court 2 days from now and tell everyone that gold equals money.
Yeah, it is certainly an interesting coincidence.
Sure is. Those timelines are tight, and I think it makes sense. I don't know if we'll ever hear anything about that. Maybe they're entirely unrelated.
Yeah, but it is odd, though, because it does seem like the treasure hunter stuff has been kind of a bane of those players for a while.
Yeah, but it also, I don't know if this is still the case, but for a long time, RS3 was pulling in close to the money OSRS was, with like a tenth of the player base. Like, it was making money.
Yeah, huh. Interesting. Well, I appreciate that as a tinfoil hat theory.
Yeah, that's so if you're looking, it is RV Lakeman 2026. And the Court of Appeals held that gold pieces in an online computer game constituted property for the purpose of the Theft Act of 1968. So they successfully argued that RuneScape Gold is crypto adjacent enough that they have real world value.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Can you real quick just tell me who the presiding judge of that is?
Would that be Lord Justice Popwell?
That's
one. Which is an excellent name for like a Bichon Frise or some other little dog in a sweater.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the judge will be making an appearance in RuneScape? It does feel like that is also a very OSRS name to me.
So here I am exposing my ignorance of the UK courts. I think Lord Justice Popwell is maybe the one of the solicitors. His Honor Judge Mayo DL. This is also listed. I'm not sure. Maybe that is the presiding.
Yeah. In the Court of Appeal, on appeal from the Crown Court at Cambridge, His Honor Judge Gray, Royal Courts of Justice. Yeah, I truly could not tell you. Oh, no. Those are the judges' names, I think.
Are they? Okay. Maybe that's showing like the original case and then the appellate stuff.
Yes.
Oh, it says before.
It says
okay. So those are
Miss S. Gaunt and Miss F. Kenyon are for the the appellant. Yeah.
Yeah. Hearing date then. Friday the 14th, November 2025.
Interesting.
Judgment came down in January this year, about a month ago.
Curiouser. Yeah. Interesting. So
there's my tinfoil. And I don't know, man. I'm not on 07scape anymore. I don't spend time on Reddit now. So maybe this is just like a known thing that people talked about a month ago and I'm late to the party. But I have not seen too much, but I've also not dug too much because I knew we were going to talk about the Winter Summit and I didn't want to spoil any of that by accident.
Well, there you go. I like it. I think that's going to do it for us today. We went through an entire press release of upcoming OSRS stuff.
We sure did.
Including buying a keyboard, possibly tickets to Chicago, and fighting a big, big cow. And I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah, I don't know where you go from there.
let's get out of here.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, have the rest of our evening. See you later, I guess. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Sure. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. I've been Phil, and he's been Logan. Our music is by Nicholas Cahill. Head over to 70%complete.com for articles, blogs, and reviews. And you can also watch our video essays and Let's Plays on YouTube. Or, you know, tune in mostly daily for my short chat podcast, Point to Point. There's also a link to join our Discord down there. Come hang out and chat RuneScape, tech, or, you know, really anything else with all the great people there. All the links are in the show notes. And we'll be back soon with another episode of Esoteric Nonsense. See you then.